What I'm going to do right now is, you know, nobody came here this afternoon to hear me preach. You want to hear me preach, I'll be at other churches at other times. Just call me and I'll tell you where I'm at and you can hear me preach on a Sunday morning. But the reality is when we come here, you're not coming to hear the bald man speak, all right? Who would want to do that? But we are, no. But what we are here is to hear the Scriptures speak. And actually, the thing we've been learning most in our times together is the fact that other people teach me now that never taught me before. And in my community group, I find myself listening to people I would never listen to as they comment about the Scripture, and I'm learning insights and things that I hadn't even thought about, which is really kind of neat. And we keep that flavor going. By the time we get to a gathering, we go back to the Scripture we've looked at during the week in our groups. And today what we're going to do to be a little bit different is, if you would take a look around you, there's a reason for this. Notice somebody close by you. Have you done that? Okay, good. That'll come to play in just a little bit. I'm going to read the word for you. I am in John chapter 1, verses 29 to 34. Community groups all studied that this week. I'm going to read it for you. I want you to listen and make mental note and observations in your mind so that when I read something, you go like this. Oop, that sounds important. Oop, that seems like it's worth observing, because you're going to share it with the person that's just kind of close to you without really moving your seats too far. You're just going to make some observations with the folks around you in regards to John chapter 1, verse 29 to 34. Let me read it for you. This is John the Gospel writer writing about John the Baptist. Don't get them confused, okay? The next day, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word, your Holy Spirit is a true teacher of this word to us, and that's what we're open to right now, Father. We ask that your Spirit would tutor us, would teach us, even through the mouth of the people near us. Father, challenge us where need be. But Father, drive this word home in our hearts. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, you pointed somebody out. That was the whole exercise. Look around, see somebody near you. I would like you to take just the next couple minutes. You heard the Scripture. You may have it open on your device or your Bible. Does anybody own a Bible anymore? Okay, just checking. Oh, there we go. I myself am always on my device. But I would ask you right now to take a few moments, just back and forth. What major observations do you see in this text? Go. Okay, if we could have your attention up toward this direction, be wrapping up your conversation. There are many doctoral dissertations in this one passage of Scripture. In fact, there's many theological implications. Did anybody see the fact that John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, said, "I did not know him? I did not know who he was? Are you kidding me? You heard from your mother, Elizabeth, who knew the stories from Mary about Jesus' birth? You heard from your dad about the angel that whatever and blinded him and etc. You heard all this stuff and you're saying here, you didn't know he was the Christ? How did he know Jesus was the Christ? Who told him?" God did. It's a big similarity there that it had to be revealed to him just like it has to be revealed to us. Great theological dissertations right there. And that's where we'll stop it because we don't want to get into fights. But anyway, you need to see that, how neat that is as God orchestrates the salvation plan in the history of mankind. Okay, somebody put their hand up. You heard an observation. What might that be that stood out in your mind, an observation? Raise your hand, stand up, and you can actually talk to the whole group. That would be great. Who would like to go first? I know somebody would. And I've got time. So that's the fun part about this. Oh, my wife, feeling bad for her husband up here dying on the vine, raises her hand and says, "What, Dee?" No, no. Yeah. John the Baptist indicating the eternalness of Jesus Christ, going the other way. Pre-eternal. Talks about the fact that he was before me, even though John the Baptist was the older one by several months. Very interesting. You would never talk that way in this culture. But John the Baptist does and says, this is the guy who was before me, indicating a pre-existent Christ. Well, being God, he would have been. Okay, great observation. So you have to say that when your wife raises her hand. Okay, fantastic observation, Dee. That was great. Okay. Jerry?
But we already named my main one, which is that if John the Baptist needed help from God to identify Jesus and all that, we got to do it. But the other thing that strikes me about this is John explains that he's why I've been doing all this stuff.
Right.
I've been flocking here for these baptisms and everything. I'm getting you ready for him.
Yeah. It seems like that John the Baptist was led by God to be doing these baptisms out in the wilderness, so to speak. And the reality was, he didn't know who he was pointing to, but he knew he was pointing to somebody. And then Jesus was revealed to him, said, there he is, you got it. Hey, by the way, let's get fun for a moment. You know, these are real life people, right? John the Baptist lives out in the wilderness. And he, from what history records, not Bible, that he wore rags and cloths and looked like a wild man. Okay, didn't shave the whole shebang. And on top of that, all he ate, kind of what we get from the scripture, he ate locusts and honey. And this hippie of the time is out there doing this, and he is the one who is, listen, the voice in the wilderness declaring that Jesus is the one who is coming. He just didn't know who he was pointing to until it was revealed to him. But God sent him out, fulfilling the scripture, that the voice in the wilderness crying that Jesus was coming. Oh, there he is. Okay. Bob, had your hand up. Oof, that's good. You catch the depth of that? You know, the goat would be sent out of the compound, you know, bearing the sin of the village and et cetera, symbolically. But he went on to live. The lamb, not so much. The lamb got bled out and the lamb died and he was the sacrifice for the people. And this bold statement, by the way, of John of, look, behold, the Lamb of God. Well, that in and of itself is a big deal. But the next statement after that is fantastic. Who takes away what? The sin. Which sin? The sin of the world. All the sins. In fact, the ones that I've committed. Hold it, I'm not done. I want to show you how good I am at this. The ones I've committed, the ones I'm currently committing, and the ones I'm going to commit in the future. Covered by this Lamb of God. Now, lest you think, oh, how can he be that way? He's committing sin. Just like you, okay? I sin and fall short of the glory of God and rely upon. You want to come to the window for this? That would be great. So the reality is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, you can actually go this way. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of Mike Gibbons. You can put your name in there and make it even more personal. I have a visitor at the window. This is like a Sesame Street episode, isn't it? Okay? Anybody catching this but me? Martin, good and loud, buddy. That is a great way to come at that scripture, looking at the comments of Jesus Christ about John the Baptist, who is called by Jesus the greatest prophet. Whew! Got to be kidding. That's kind of neat. Another observation. They're here. I've got a boatload of them. Come on, let's keep going. This is fun. Philip, you want to come around the corner, please? Okay.
Well, the fact fact that John the Baptist identified Jesus as the Lamb of God, but then he also identified him as the Son of God, so that it was actually God himself who was going to be offered up for the forgiveness of our sins.
Oof. That is really, really good. More to that, Jim? Jim? Nice. That's good. Real good. Let's keep going. Got more? Have you exhausted this passage? Mildred. Okay. Nice. They're talking about the fact that the Trinity is present. John the Baptist is one of the few people. You can think through your Bible right now. How many people have actually experienced the Trinity in one place? John the Baptist, okay, at the baptism of Jesus. Jesus is right in front of him, Son of God. Spirit takes on the form of a dove and comes down and doesn't just go, whoo, and fly away. He remains on him, and he hears the voice of God. So in one place, the Trinity is present. Trivia question. Who else can say that in the Scripture, that they saw all three, the Trinity, at one time? I should almost leave you with that so you can go look it up at home and try to figure it out. Come on, yeah, a little homework. I didn't come to Cannawood for homework. Anybody? Who else? Okay, let's do it this way. Let's work up to it. Who in the Scripture has seen two out of three of the Trinity at one time? Very good. Very good. Oh, yeah. And others, that's right. David, you got it. Yeah, the funny thing is, and you want to go for funny little sidebar notes about Scripture, Peter hears the voice of God at the Transfiguration. Peter also later on hears the voice of God. I'm thinking nobody else during the New Testament period got to hear the voice of God as much as Peter, even just a couple of times, which is really good. Some would say that John, the gospel writer here, the youngest of the gospel writers, these other guys are dead by now, probably this is many years later, John sees what was written in the synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke and decides that he needs to give something out that fills in the gaps, which is why there's not a lot of corollary between the gospel of John and the other three gospels. He's filling in gaps of things you don't know about, and that's what he's doing. But this, John, the writer, goes on to get exiled to Patmos. This guy then has the revelation of Jesus Christ, so he sees end times and last things. And a lot of folks would say, during that experience, he experienced the three. It seems in his writings, obviously Jesus, God, and the Spirit, he, over the course of Revelation, does get to see the three of them. By the way, for fun, I don't know if people like this stuff or not. History records, Clement, by the way, one of my favorite guys, who was a disciple of John, the gospel writer, writes about what John was like because he didn't die on Patmos. He came back to his village, and guess what he went about doing? Sharing Jesus Christ, but he was very concerned about discipling other people for the ministry. Sound familiar? And when he was doing that, they would talk about, he was getting old, and it was 90s, that the young men in the group would have to go up to his place of residence and carry him down to where he was going to sit and teach all day and tell him about what he saw with Jesus. Some great side notes from history and what John's life was all spent about. Kind of fun. I wanted you to see this, that, and nobody mentioned this. So if you did, if you see this, just raise your hand and wave at me and tell me I'm not off base. The thing that captured me in this text was actually verse 34, where John the Baptist kind of synopsizes this thing and says, "And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." Anybody else put up their hand? They saw that too? That's like a major statement in the Scripture, that this is the Son of God. And it made me think this, that is the mission that I am on. Hold on for just a second here. If I go ahead and I look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, walk into a piece of scripture that's used for the communion service, for the communion time. But you'll notice this within the context of it. And I'll read it in a little bit for you. But when you go to 1 Corinthians 11:26, talking about the communion time, Paul says this, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." That's what you're supposed to be doing. And back here I get John saying that I've borne witness to what I've seen and what I've heard, that this is the Son of God. Could it be any clearer to you and I what our mission is on this earth? No matter where he's put you, strategically placed you, that your mission is to do exactly that? Nothing else. You don't have to preach yourself any of that. You preach Jesus Christ. You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's what you're called to do. And I actually believe that when I look at the scripture, it makes it very clear that we're to do communion, but not just out of habit. I've been to enough churches where they have a service and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like this, looking at the clock thinking, they're over time and they've got communion out there in front of the pulpit and they're obviously going to have a communion service and dang, this is going to go late. Am I the only one that's thought that? Yeah, you have. Okay. Be honest. That's right. And so what you do at the very end is you tag it on. And they slipshod run right through it so that we had communion, collect the cups, and we're done. And I'm like, oh, that stinks. That stinks. Communion was meant to be a recalibration to where we actually grapple again with the fact that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, died for us and was a sacrifice for our sin. And that event is what I am to proclaim. So today, again, being different, but hopefully being meaningful, we're going to have communion. We're going to have it together, but we're going to have it separate. And by that I mean this. I'm going to read the communion passage right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's the re-education of the Corinthian people who, by the way, every which way they turned messed it up and had to be instructed about the communion time. I'm going to read it for our instruction. And then I'm going to give you a few minutes alone with the Lord. Because I know the weeks that we have and how busy it's been and how the COVID thing has turned us a little bit sideways and habits are not the same. And it just might be that you've not spent a lot of time with the Lord alone. It might just be that you've not taken enough time to consider the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of... Put your name in there. You got it. So I'm going to read that passage, the re-instruction of the Corinthians about communion. You've each got a communion element cup in your hand. By now you know how to open it. If you've never done it before, help somebody nearby. You've got to be really deft with your fingers to get there. And here's how I'm going to do. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to go quiet for a few minutes. You consider what the wafer in your hand, which represents the body of Jesus Christ, you consider the body of Jesus Christ broken for you. And then after you've done that, you've got the cup in your hand. You consider the blood of Jesus Christ, that lamb sacrificed for you, for your sin. And then when you are ready over the next couple minutes, you eat that bread. When you are ready, you drink that cup. And have a real, private, meditative time with him. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. So let me read that passage, and then I'm going to go quiet and let you spend some time before the Lord. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Our Father, how we thank you that Jesus, our sacrificial lamb, gave his life for us, his body and his blood for us, for my sin. Father, we're overwhelmed by that. We worship you for eternity for that just one thing alone, that you made peace between us and you. but the cost was your son Jesus. And for that we praise you and thank you. Father, now I pray that you'd use this next time in our lives to help refine us to be more like Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Listen very carefully. I am very convinced that God strategically places us where he places us so that we might be able to tell the story of Jesus, the Lamb of God, that we just talked about, the proclaiming that this is what Jesus did, his body and his blood. You get the idea. But I do know I run into some people who say, I just don't know what to say. I get in the right place, but I'm not sure what to say. And I thought, you know, we need to work on that a little bit. And we're going to do that right now as a group. Here's what we're going to do. Now, look around the room. I don't really want you to get with your marital spouse. I don't want you really to get with your best friend. I just want you to get with someone else. How's that? I need us to right now get in pairs with somebody else. Not right when I say. I need you right now in a minute to get in pairs with somebody else and find a place to sit next to them or stand with them. And we're going to do an exercise. For 3 minutes, one of you is going to share the life of Jesus in you. Maybe where you came from, how you came to Christ, whatever you might share with somebody to share Jesus Christ, what do you say? And then I'm the one up here who's going to call switch. And then the other person speaks and you get to listen. There's a lot of good reasons for this. One is practicing your story, but two, the other one is we've been talking about the Lamb of God and proclaiming this. This is how you do it. And what we're going to do after those two shared back and forth, then you will have not just heard yourself put it together for 3 minutes. You should be able to do it in less than that, but let's say the 3 minutes. But then you will hear somebody else's story and hear what comes from them, which may help you in the refinement of your story. If you're good, you can listen to somebody near you and pick up theirs too, but you have to really be good for that. Okay, so if you would do me this favor, you're going to have to get up. Unless you've already found that person, you have to get up, find that person, one person and one person, two people, stand, sit, do whatever you want to do, but face each other and get ready to do this exercise. I'll call begin. So if you've found them, just introduce yourself to each other. Go ahead and do that. I will give the official go. Right now, just introduce and smile at each other through a mask. Okay, some people are still partnering up. Okay, some people are still partnering up. Okay, who does not have a partner? Okay, I've got somebody up here without a partner. Okay, I still have somebody without a partner. Eddie, I got to get you a partner. Who wants to come up and be Eddie's partner? Who's out there? That's... is there a Clueless hiding out here?
Yes, there is.
Oh, there is a Clueless hiding out here.
Yeah.
You didn't get low enough. Come on out here and visit with us. Come on, this is worth it. Come on. Come on, this is worth it. You get to meet Eddie. Eddie's the highlight of the church. He's like the mascot. Yeah. Here he comes. Here comes your buddy. Good kid to get to know. All righty. Okay, here he comes. Introduce yourself to him, Ed. There you go. Okay. All righty, listen up. Did you meet each other? You got another 30 seconds if you need to meet each other. Okay? Okay, here we go. Figure out which one of you is going to start, because I'm going to say start. Which one of you is going to begin? Make that decision right now. Are you ready? You're going to share the real life of Jesus Christ, the experience of Jesus Christ in your life, hopefully for the purpose of leading that person to Christ, give them some highlights from your life, whatever it might be. Are you ready? First person, go. Okay, stop. No matter where you are, stop. Stop and quiet. Okay, here we go. Stop. Everybody has stopped? 3 minutes is a long time, isn't it? Not really. All right, now, other person's turn. You listen. Ready, set, go. Time. Everybody quiet. Don't move. Everybody quiet. Don't move. Everybody nice and quiet. Don't move. The quiet's getting there, though. Everybody don't move. And the quiet. You people in the balcony. Okay. Well, it's better than calling them the porch people, isn't it? That sounds derogatory. Okay. Now listen, the person you were with, before you leave their company, before you leave, we're going to do that right now, but before you leave, take 1 or 2 seconds and just say, you know what? Over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be praying for you. Say that to each other. Would you do that right now? And then return to your seat. Okay, as you're finding your seat, we would like to sing a last song. And I'm not going to sing the last song, but we're going to sing the last song. It's the last song on your song sheet that you have not sung yet. So let's sing together. Tyler?
This is Mike's a cappella solo. No, I'm just kidding.
John the Baptist summed up the whole event of introducing Jesus as the Lamb of God and the baptism event of Jesus Christ. And remember what he said. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. That's what you're doing with your life and your story, where God has placed you. Glenn comes to pray for us and set us off with a challenge for Fellowship Week. Glenn?
Thanks, Pastor Mike. Let us pray. Dear mighty God and our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time here together, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you made us for a purpose. You knitted us in our mother's wombs, Lord, for a purpose. We were not just recycled material or repurposed material, but Lord, you created a purpose specifically for us in this generation. Father, we pray that you'd use us, that you'd expend our lives, Lord, to go and share the gospel with others, to be able to tell them the good news that Jesus Christ came into this world to die for sinners. And Lord, even as you, as John the Baptist, Lord, came as a forerunner, pointing to you, we pray, Lord, that our lives would point to you. We commit ourselves now to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, and ask that through your Holy Spirit, you'd use us to witness for you. For we ask all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. It said that that in the scriptures that David served God's purposes in his generation and then he died. My challenge is to you, go and serve God's purposes in this generation and then you can always croak after.